Good morning, Dr. Sarkis.
Good afternoon, Dr. Bertram.
Hey, Sarah, I got your message. What's all this about wanting to start a podcast?
Yes.
Give me some background here. What are you thinking?
I'm thinking that we turn on the microphone and have conversations with our favorite people in the industry.
Yeah. So, listener, that is almost a verbatim copy of the conversation Sarah and I actually had a little while ago when she hit me up with this idea of starting a podcast. And if you don't know much about Sarah, she's rather persuasive.
And, oh, that was a different P word than I thought you were going to use.
Relentless?
Persistent was the word that I was going to use.
So this was the genesis of this, you know, gathering of the two of us here to start a podcast was out of your brain. Tell people where this came from and then we'll move on. But give us a sense of where your idea started.
Okay, so I started this crusade close to before the pandemic, so 3 years ago. I started dropping secrets, but I like to come on, like I take the frog in the boiling water approach. Like you've got to go sort of slow and steady to like get the Stockholm syndrome going. Otherwise, like my style would terrify anybody. So I was like
I'm the frog in this scenario. Is that right?
Yeah. Oh, okay. I'm turning up the water slowly over like a multi-year approach, right? And you were like any normal human being that's just getting to know you would be, you were like, ha, 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 yeah, yeah. That's an interesting idea. And I particularly told you that I was looking for a male co-host. Do you remember why? And who was my inspiration?
I hope I can get this right, but I that's actually the part of it that really resonated with me, because I think, you know, I listen to a lot of podcasts and was thinking something similar, that there weren't a lot of male female co-hosting. And I think was it Armchair Expert? Was that the one that you thought was sort of close to what because they have a little back and forth. Yeah.
Okay, I love Armchair Expert, but that is not the true inspiration. But the reason you're thinking of that, in that same conversation, I said that Dax Shepard is a huge fan of Howard Stern and Robin Quivers.
Right.
And that he has, when he was on Howard Stern, had said that he learned a lot about having a female co-host and sort of what that did to his energy and her energy. So you're thinking of the right conversation.
Okay, so that's good. I'd forgotten that. So that's a good first lesson for our listeners. We are making this up as we go. There's nothing scripted. We're going to figure this out along the way. But I think if it's Howard Stern, then I think we should also be clear that you are going to be the Howard Stern in this duo, and I'm going to play sidecar and be your Robin.
That's interesting. I don't see it that way, but I don't necessarily see it that you are Howard and I am Robin either. But what I will say is I see it as like the energy that those two characters bring. And like imagine if it was a male in Howard, in Robin's dynamic, how that would change it. So that's what we're going for.
Well, but I know you enough to know that you're brash and you're definitely closer to the Howard end of the spectrum than I am. So let's see where that goes.
Yeah, you have fine pedigree behind you. I'm just like I'm like a feral street cat.
Yeah, and this is why this is fun. So look, let's talk a little bit about why we got to the concept of shadow boxing. First of all, maybe just a bit of background on the name. We had a different name originally, which we won't share because it was a pretty good name for the podcast. And then we were discussing something, as we do, just randomly in a phone call. And you had mentioned, do you remember what you said? You had something going on in your head and you dropped the term. Do you remember the quote?
Or, okay, tell us. Yeah, it was actually about one of our guests that we're having on this season. And I remember saying, like, oh, I've shadow boxed this conversation in my head for years.
Right. That's what it was. And so when you said that, I couldn't stop hearing the term shadow boxing, and we got off that call. And I think within the hour, I had written back to you and said, look, we need to rename the podcast and it should be shadow boxing. And right away I was like, yes, yes, that was it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. So, let's talk about the idea of shadow boxing. What does that term mean to you? And how does it relate to maybe some of the conversations you think we want to have going forward?
Yeah, because that's what was really interesting. Again, why I love having like two sort of very different perspectives. You thought of it totally different than I was meaning it. And then when you said what you meant, I was like, I hadn't even, you had thought of it almost as like the things we're practicing for, right? The things we're getting in reps for, right?
Yeah.
Right, totally.
Well, so I'll tell you, I'll give you mine first, and then I'll throw it back to you since you kind of teed me up there. So when I thought about, you know, shadow boxing, and we'd come up with this sort of, you know, tagline of the things we're fighting for and the things we're fighting against. When I thought of that, I thought, well, the things that we're fighting for, I think of it through the lens of, you know, what are your personal values and beliefs, and what are the things you're really striving for in your life? Like, you know, I'm really interested in the high performance world and what are we trying to achieve from ourselves? But in the fighting against piece, I thought of it as in, you know, there are times in life where we get out of our comfort zone, where we really bump into struggle, and we have to fight against those things in service of learning more rapidly or growing or developing as people. So where's the worthy fight? That's what I thought of, but you had seen it a little bit differently.
Yeah.
So what was your take?
And I love the way you saw it and see it. My take was, I use it like in my work with people, when I hear like themes coming up in their life. I think we were specifically talking about that podcast or like a noisy, you know, it's a noisy sphere. There's so many, everybody's coming out with a podcast right now. I was like, oh yeah, I've shadow boxed with this. Meaning like I've chewed the fat on that limitation, the thing that, oh, there's a lot of podcasts. Everybody has a podcast. And when I talk about shadow boxing, I'm talking about sort of what are the ghosts and goblins that you fight inside yourself that hold you back. And that's really how I see it.
Right.
And it's often kind of what I'm on the hunt for.
Yeah. Well, I think there's probably a good reason why we saw it and heard it and thought about it a little bit differently. And I think it's because you and I come from different backgrounds, and I mean training academically. So why don't we just quickly overview the resumes here? So Sarah Sarkis, Dr. Sarah Sarkis, tell us a little bit about your professional background and tell people a little bit about the lens that you might be looking through when it comes to these conversations.
Yeah. So I'm a licensed psychologist and an executive coach, and I'm now also the senior director of psychology and performance at Exos, along with you at Exos. We've overlapped again. So I went and like after college, I got my master's at Boston College here in Massachusetts, and then I went and got my doctorate. I got a PsyD. At GW, George Washington University in Washington, D.C. And I always knew I wanted to do clinical work. I never was drawn or interested much in research, although you have to do it at any program. But I really loved the clinical work. And the work I thought I would be doing probably at the time, I thought I'd do it forever, was forensics. I was really interested in like the criminal mind, and I thought I'd either become like a profiler, or I was pretty interested in like cult deprogramming. In particular, I was interested at the time in like when agents of the government like fall to the other side. You know, there's psychologists that go out and like bring them back from the brink of, you know.
Yeah. Okay, we have to pause here for just 1 second. That sounds like an interesting career ambition. And can I ask where that interest came from. Like, this is digging into you a little bit, but where does the interest in, you know, forensics and, you know, cult deprogramming, what's the seed of that interest?
You found sort of the question inside the question. So this is the wormhole. We never really know, right? But so on the surface, I just was always really interested. I've always been interested in outliers, right? So any end of the bell curve, right? Mm-hmm. But as I got sort of, so my interest in psychology and my experience as a patient sort of unfolded at the same time, right? So I was like going to therapy, figuring things out. And actually, so I'm the granddaughter of, you know, if you're in these parts of the world, of a sort of infamous mobster, a bookie for the mob, right?
Okay. So
I came to see that this was in many ways like an attempt to try to understand like parts of my own family and sense of belonging. And it's something that really shaped my childhood. He was alive till I was 16. And it obviously really, really shaped my dad and, you know, how he operated in the world. So that's probably the most truthful origin story, is that I was on like a decades long journey to try to understand like what it meant to have criminality in your family.
So that is fascinating. I think this is maybe part of, you know, a bit of foreshadowing. By the way, thanks for sharing that. That's super interesting.
And I
have about a million other questions about that, which hopefully we can unpack as we go through this series. But I do think it's interesting to start to pick away the layers and find out, you know, not only what your thoughts are now, but how you got there. I think that's a really interesting thing that I really hope we get to explore with some of our guests on Shadowboxing.
Oh, I intend to make it a full theme, right? Of like, what's the root system that gets us to where we land?
Yeah.
And most of the time, I've never met somebody up close who isn't fascinating.
Well, I think that we'll tee up a few of the people that we've got on our guest list as we move along here. But I do want to let you finish your background. So you got into psychology, you started studying, you know, a certain element of human psychology, and then where are you now?
Yeah, so I was like, for a lot of years, I was sort of looking at that side of things. I worked in and around, you know, prisons and court systems and all of that kind of stuff. And I always kept sort of a small private practice. And then I would say over the last, say, 14 years, maybe kind of 10 to 15 years, I kind of slowly like lost interest in that. I maybe had my answers to the pure drive that brought me into the field, right? Mm-hmm. And I increasingly became super interested in what contributes to well-being versus pathology, right? So as I started asking myself that question, I mean, I unlocked a field of psychology, positive psychology, that in 7 academic years at the highest levels in the field of psychology, I had never even heard about, that positive psychology. And then I found like adjacent fields like behavioral economics and neuroscience and neurobiology and all these other areas that sort of contributed. Now I'm really like, I'm mostly focused on trying to understand the levers and the widgets of how to optimize our well-being, knowing that that makes space for two things. One is a huge piece of the puzzle will be your relationship with recovery. And a second huge piece of the puzzle will be coming to terms with the fact that suffering is part of our condition, right?
Yeah.
So if we bake that into well-being, right? So, because I don't want it to sound Pollyannish. So that's sort of where I'm at now.
I think people will find that really interesting, by the way, because it was sort of news to me. So we'll probably get into this too, but I don't come from a psychology background, and just to learn,
you know, tell us the background you come from.
Well, I will, but I want to make this point first that, you know, psychology, the field of psychology was, I don't know, is it too much to say that it was created around the study of pathology? Like how do we explain these weird nuances and quirks in the human system and behavior? And
well, and you know, it's really interesting to see that there was like a minority but influential voice that was trying to compete with this heavy emphasis on pathology. But you can see, the narrative that kind of won out in pop culture. I mean, we have a diagnostic and statistical manual that will literally put any other industry to shame.
Well, when you say that, you mean that it is comprehensive and deep and thick and... But the world of positive psychology that you brought up, I mean, it's kind of new to the game in psychology, where we study and we talk about what it is on the other end of the human spectrum of flourishing and happiness and joy and flow and all these interesting ideas. That's fairly new to psychology, right? Like, I mean, depending on how old you are. I mean, that came about in the 1960s or so, did it not?
Yeah, I mean, I think technically there are people before that, right, in the 20s and the 30s and competing even when Freud was around with an alternate interpretation of psychological components, right?
Yeah.
But yes, and I would say it's an oversight. It's an oversight that we spent at the helm of mental health. We spent the majority of our time just understanding sickness.
Mm-hmm. I think it's great that there is a sort of renewed emphasis these days on studying and understanding what are the elements of, you know, the positive end of human psychology and how do we get there. And I think that's a great way to think about how you approach psychology and how you'll probably approach a lot of the conversations that we're having here. Yes?
I know. I'm so excited and I'm so nervous.
Okay, so you asked me, I'll answer the question.
Yes, now. Let our listeners in on sort of, you know, who is the infamous Dr. Chris Bertram?
Well, I'll start by just reiterating what I'm not. Again, I'm not a psychologist, but so much of the work that I am involved in has to naturally intersect with the world of psychology. So what I'm interested in, my academic training is in the world of human learning, motor learning. How do we get our nervous system to change in a way that we can see improvement over time? So I'm really interested in athletes and high performance. How do we get learning to happen more quickly? How can we get it to show up when the pressure's on? And this thing that we talk about, stress-resistant learning. So nothing really matters until it shows up when you want it to show up. In my opinion, that's not real learning. So I've done a PhD in this area, and I've worked in academia for 20 years or so. But along the way, you know, I started to get really interested in, you know, okay, so these things work in a laboratory. This is what seems to help with learning and performance at a high level, but does it really help people that are in the arena, right? And so I naturally was inclined to go out and test these ideas. I grew up as an athlete. I was really always interested in high performance. And I wanted to know if the ideas that I was teaching about and studying in a research lab really helped people. So I started going out and talking with athletes and coaching teams and consulting with national team programs and really working to see if those ideas really resonated with people and helped them win gold medals. And so that led me into this, you know, sort of splitting of my career where I had one foot sort of in the academic lane and one in the applied lane. And from there, you know, started being interested more broadly in human performance. So if you're not an athlete, aren't we all trying to get better at what we do? Don't we all want to kind of optimize our system? And, you know, started getting into the world of executive coaching a little bit. And that's where you and I first intersected in that world. And now working as the director of applied neuroscience at Exos, really getting to dig into this stuff And it's just been, you know, a 20-year fun journey on trying to explore and hopefully grow our understanding of how we can become a better version of ourselves every day.
Well, and this is exactly why, for people wondering, like, okay, so, but how did the two of you land together? So my whole thing that I said to you is I want this to be a living, breathing experiment, right? And you, the way you, when I got to really know you and hang out with you and, you know, interact with you in multiple domains, right? Because we had FRC that we were at, I did some consulting with Exos, we had some other things we were doing. You live that way. It's like you take the applied and then you become a street scientist. Yeah. And you roll your sleeves up and start applying it, right? So yes. This is exactly why I hounded you for 36 months. Not that I'm counting.
Yeah. And you know what? I think where it really convinced me is in that intersection you just described. Not only is there kind of this interesting of the back and forth that I think we have naturally and getting that male and female perspective, but also you realize there's a big gap in the world of performance, especially if you look at it through a podcasting lens. There are people out talking about neuroscience, how to change your behaviors and sort of from a bottom up way, how do you, you know, change the way your mind is working. And then there's sort of the psychology approach, which I think a lot of times, not always, but a lot of times is more top down. Like, how are you thinking about the world? And can you change the way you view things and how you show up by changing your thinking? But there's this really interesting intersection of mind body going on right now. And I think if we really want to get to the bottom of this puzzle of how do we, you know, show up as the best version of ourselves every day, whether you're an athlete or whether you're an executive or whether you're just trying to get through the day, that there is a two-part integrated system here. And I think this is a really important area of conversation that just isn't happening at the level that I think it needs to.
I love that you have a crusade behind this because, you know, I'm just here for the good conversation.
Well, you know, and thank you for that. So I now am grateful and excited to be going on this journey with you. So if we could maybe put a nutshell on this, what is shadow boxing? What is the goal of this series of podcasts that we are going to dive into here very soon?
Yeah, this is a series that will have roughly 8 episodes. This is one of them, right? Mm-hmm. And we are going to have long form, although I already know that I want to triple the length of time we could talk, but we're going to have long form, meaning 60-minute conversations with people that we really admire in this industry and also like friends and people we've collaborated with, just people that we've generally been inspired by. And we're going to get, I intend to get under the hood of sort of what was their recipe for dealing with the space between their ears and the world that they were raised in, right? And the environment that they came to the world to navigate. So
I love it. And do we, I think let's go ahead and maybe just tease a few of the people that we've got on our hit list. So
yeah, I'm going to let you do the honors on that one.
Sure. So again, you mentioned friends and people that have inspired us, some people that we know, some people that we don't, but certainly people like Michael Gervais, Stephen Kotler, Gabby Reese. These are people that have graciously agreed to give us some of their time. And I cannot tell you how excited I am to get to spend sort of some focused time. We know a few of these people a little bit in certain circles, but to have them sort of in our crosshairs for a fixed amount of time, how exciting
is that? I love that you said crosshairs. I see like an interrogation lamp as well. But I know, and my stomach literally like flip-flops when you say the names. So, and I don't know who I'm more nervous for, the people we have a personal relationship with or the people that we don't, but we're like, at least I can speak for me, like I'm like president of their fan clubs.
Yeah, and I would echo that. And I think for those reasons, I am at this stage equally nervous and excited about all of them. So let's see what shows up. Dr. Sarkis, this is Shadowboxing. Are you ready to go?
Oh, I'm ready.
All right. Well, let's buckle up. We'll see you again real soon.
What you fighting for? What you fighting with? It's Shadowboxing with Sam and Chris. Shadowboxing. Shadowboxing. Shadowboxing.